Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, John. How are you?
Good, Rob. How are you?
Good, good. How's Charlotte?
It's good. It's like been in the mid-80s, so I'll take it.
Yeah.
Morning.
Good morning, Steph. How are you?
Doing great. I've got Dimitri here with me.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Dimitri. So, what's on your mind?
I played tennis for the first time in a year and a half yesterday.
Excellent. How'd you do?
Ice, I guess.
How'd it feel? Your shoulder okay?
Yeah. Not as sore as I thought it was going to be. My legs are okay, but my shoulder and my back are a little sore. But it felt good to get back out and hit a little.
That's awesome. Great.
I was just going over the video and some of the notes for week 12. One thing that I still think we're kind of struggling with is, I was kind of going down the breakdown of the failures of the failures in Supernova.
Yep.
And looking at getting organized, keeping organized, so we can continue to grow. And I was drilling down into the scheduler side and all the activities that come along with doing the meetings and all the follow-up work that's associated to it. And
yep.
Looking at the scheduler, like the CSA items and like the advisor items on the meeting board.
Yep.
And on the meeting board for the CSA, a lot of the items that were listed there on like what to keep track of are things that we are doing, like myself and Stephanie are doing, and follow-up works with the clients. And it's taking up a lot of our time. Especially in these initial meetings, because there's a lot of changes and strategy changes that we're making. It's really good, but I was just I just wanted to clarify that's something that we shouldn't be doing. It should be the work of the CSA. So,
correct.
Like the executive summaries, the appointment notes.
Well,
and confirming the client appointment.
Okay, there's some style issues here. It depends on how much control you want or how much you want to delegate. But the in terms of, I met with a team that really seems to do this really efficiently and effectively, and I asked them how they did it, and they said, well, once you get the format, then it's just really copy and paste, update it, put in whatever new agenda items are on there, and then the summary, again, once you get the format, you just copy and paste, and then put in anything that you both decide, that you agreed that you would do. I said, so how long does it take you to do that? And they said, 5 to 10 minutes. We do it, immediately after the call. And so I've had some people say, it's just amazing, takes way too much time, it's really hard. And so I had to probe them on this to see if it, they said, oh no, the clients love it. It keeps us on track. We know what we're supposed to do. I don't know. I think when you have more than 70 clients, it's hard. If you have 70 or less, I think it's very manageable. Now, in terms of confirming appointments and sending the agenda, that you can definitely delegate that. But I would want to make sure I saw the agenda before it went out, and I saw the executive summary before it went out. either I sent it or, I mean, once you've got it done, I guess it's just a click, right? So, I think that's very helpful, especially if you guys are sharing accounts, you know, and covering for each other when you're out and things like that, to have it, to have those things done and in the folder or on the computer, you know, however you do it. I just think it keeps you guys, it just makes everything much more efficient. Now the game board should be done, you know, the scoreboard on Fridays or Thursday nights, that afternoon. That should be, that's a CSA job, and the giving board or the game board on Monday is also should be part of the CA's job. So, you know, I don't expect you guys to do it. I expect you to be at the meetings and be prepared to talk, but not do the, you know, not, you don't call the meeting, or you don't schedule the meeting, or you don't do the game board. That's all done by your team. And you just make sure it gets done. That's all.
Rob, have you ever seen a team sort of, at least at our client size or level, bring on an additional service associate-like role to help complete a lot of this stuff, or have they ever felt the need to do that?
I think it's a ritual thing. I think once you get it seems overwhelming when you're first doing it. I think you can tend to do this without it being overwhelming. When you're first doing it, there's so much new work because the clients aren't used to it, and you're catching up, basically. You're doing a lot of catch-up work that needed to be done sometime. Follow-ups on financial plans, you know, creates quite a few items. And, you know, when you start talking to clients, they're going to ask for more, and you're going to do more. Some of it you get paid for, some of it you don't. So it's going to feel as though it's a lot more work now than it will 6 months from now. So no, I don't think it's necessary to have a person to do this. But I do think it's necessary to have two CSAs in order to do this right. You know, I think you need one doing administrative work in terms of operations, and one doing Supernova and service.
That's the conversation that we've had, because Sarah is doing the administrative, a lot of, like, all of the administrative stuff, and from the Supernova side, it's almost, in order for her to do, you know, it would be ideal to have her do the scheduler, the summaries, the appointment notes, and the agendas, and, like, confirming client appointments. But that is, in itself seems like a job in itself, because you really have to be kind of sharp on top of both, you know, everybody's calendars, and you have to, you know, be available to have the folders that you can transcribe the notes and do, like, the executive summaries on it. That takes a lot of time, and I just get the feeling that she's like to the max as it is, and adding all of this onto it wouldn't be the best quality. And what I'm finding on the scheduling side, like, we're still struggling with, we're getting the meeting scheduled, but sometimes it's, the appointment reminders are going out, like, people are calling back, and, you know, maybe 2 or 3 months down the road, when the appointment reminders are going out, they want it on the 5th Friday instead of the 1st, because their schedule isn't accommodating to it, and, like, you know, Sarah's having a hard time, like, figuring out how to adjust the time, and she's too scared to, like make the edit because she doesn't want to impact, like, everything else, and she's not using the scheduler as, you know, the thing that she should use first. She's kind of using Outlook first, and then we're not knowing when the scheduler is getting updated second, and, like, and I was going in the scheduler, and I feel like it's such a powerful tool. There's so much in there. It does a lot of the heavy lifting that, you know, you need first, and then, like, the Outlook is almost, like, the secondary thing. Is that, like, the relationship that it should be? It's like the scheduler should be, right?
Yeah, scheduler is the innards, and the Outlook is the kind of the visible result of the scheduler.
She's definitely not comfortable with the technology side of it. She's not had to use the Outlook in the past, and we have observed that she's not spent much time getting familiar with the Excel scheduler, and I don't know if that's where we need to have her on a few calls on her own.
Yeah.
Not better.
Let's just get another call with Cindy and just go through it again.
Okay.
Just to start over, you know. Because if she's not fast, I've seen one administrative CSA run 6 financial advisors. Okay, so it's, you know, it's doable, but you got to know what you're doing. And I think what you're identifying is that there's an issue of training here.
I think it's the Supernova material feedback, I think, is coming as a second priority. So she might be inundated with other tasks where the focus on accuracy is not there. So we're finding a lot of mistakes in addition to uncomfortability with technology, and we don't want mistakes. We want to deliver, you know, the right thing.
Right.
So that's really the question about is it worth bringing on a second person to ensure that we're delivering it the level we want?
That's an economic issue on your part. I mean, I'd go through the training and either before or after, have a serious sit down and say, you know, give her a chance to go through the training again, okay? And if there's still an issue with the operation of the system, then you got a problem, okay? And you can solve it by hiring another person, or unfortunately, maybe you get a different person. Not a comfortable.
Another thing, which was the batch process for your client meeting.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
It's a really important concept in terms of efficiency and productivity. When we first started doing Supernova, we found that whenever, you know, you're going through the financial plan. And every client has got a group of issues, and of course, you take care of the urgent ones, but there are issues like long-term care that aren't urgent, and we have a tendency never to introduce them because we just don't want to get into it. It's too much. So what we found was you prepare ahead of time and make long-term care a two-month effort. And it's, again, it's just, think of it as an educational experience for the clients. So you brief yourself and train yourself. The vice president, Dimitri, that'd be your job. So you plan the calendar, the 24-month calendar, well in advance. In my calendar that I put in the workbook, I gave you 8 new topics to introduce over a 24-month period. Most topics and most issues last for 2 months because we need to introduce it and then we need follow-up time. So let's stick with the long-term care idea. Everybody should know about long-term care, whether they buy it or not. That's an economic issue, and, you know, you guys decide that between yourself and the client. They should know it's available because you don't want somebody else selling it to them. And so the question becomes, how do you introduce it? You know, one at a time? No, let's introduce it to all our clients, and we call that batch processing. So what happens is you don't waste your time learning a spiel and then introducing it to one client. You learn it, make it an efficient presentation, and if you're going to do some business, you'll do 10 long-term care policies instead of one. It's the same with mortgages or any kind of finance. You know, you want to introduce different financing options to the client. You want to do that as a best processing educational two-month effort rather than doing one and then having to do, you know, spend 4 months doing a mortgage and killing yourself. You'd rather do 10 mortgages. And then you get pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the idea.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. So it makes it you get through the issues. You do it efficiently and effectively. And everybody's on the same page. So everybody's talking about the same thing for that 2 month period.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, you make up your own calendar, what topics you think are important, what you want to introduce. But it's like the old days when we used to take out a yellow pad and call everybody on the stock. It's different, obviously. You call everybody, you know, according to their monthly schedule on a topic that's more relevant to financial planning.
Right.
But, you know, you do more business because of that. You do, you know, and you're covering topics that the client needs to hear about. Whether or not they ever buy it, that's up to them. But, you know, I like to involve the specialist before as part of the training. You know, give us an update on long-term care. What are the options? You know, give us the update on mortgages. What are the options? Da-da-da. So you're going to be more up-to-date on mortgages current than you are on long-term care, but there are lots of other topics that I think are important, but we don't deal with very often.
So, Rob, we had a week out with our Seattle clients last week or 2 weeks ago, and during our time there, you know, we sat down, delivered. We've been delivering the Supernova experience, and one of our I say top 10 relationships gave us some great feedback about, you know, the efforts we're doing and how they really appreciate all of the hard work and detail. And we kind of viewed that as potentially an opportunity to drive more referrals, but we're trying to figure out the best way to sort of open that door without we want to be tactful about how we ask or position it. So that was something we wanted to, you know, we've done the meeting, they appreciate the meeting, but then on a follow-up call to execute one of the items like 2 days later, they took an extra moment to reiterate how happy they are. And that's not the first client that's done that. So we want to be tactful in how we get introductions from those conversations. What do you suggest?
A couple of things. It's a cultural issue, and it's a training issue. So, you know, a lot of people are uncomfortable even introducing the idea of it. And to me, it's a natural result of good service should be introductions, and people don't go around thinking about people that they should refer to you. So if you don't help them, it generally never happens. But so we need to train the client, help the client, just like we're training them to use the folders. Now, one thing in the folder that people often say, well, I feel uncomfortable putting that in there, I completely disagree. There's a a page in the folder called referrals or introductions. Now, I think that this is a really important page. This would be given and received, okay? So sometimes you can introduce lots of different things to your client. Remember, the enthusiastically endorsed list is an opportunity to refer people to them whenever a problem arises. So what you want to do and what I'm going to do on that page is change it a little bit by putting in the date of the introduction. Okay? So, and I would put in two dates, actually. The date of the introduction and the date if, in fact, you close them. Okay? So, and when you give them, you don't know when, whether or not they end up doing business, but it would be important to find out if, in fact, it worked out. So I'd probably have two dates in there if I could. Yeah, I like that idea. Two dates for given and received. The date actually when you introduced the idea and then the date when they actually consummated it and ended up doing business.
We've been including that page consistently with all of the folders we've been giving out. But
that's great.
On the spot, how do we then...
Well, let me just finish this idea because I think it's really important. What you want to do is when you get an introduction, somebody gives you an introduction, and you open the account, you put in the date, and then my suggestion is this. Every year, on the anniversary of the introduction, you call the client and thank them. Okay? And people say, what? That's crazy. You know, I don't have time for this. Wait a minute. Just think about it, right? It's a very powerful thing you're doing. You're calling them and thanking them for introducing you, but it also says and reinforces their behavior, right? And says, we really value what you did. And then, you know, it's great to send a note. It's great to send wine glasses. It's great to send all these things. But, you know, then it's done. This way you keep it alive every year. All right. So now how do you turn, there's something in the book and in the workbook called VIPSA, V-I-P-S-A. And this is Bill Case's model. And it's very valuable. And I suggest using it in a couple of different ways. One of them is simply to go through and use the VIPSA when a client has indicated that they are satisfied or delighted, right? So that would be kind of a spontaneous VIPSA, value, important, permission, suggestion, advice. So when somebody says, we love you, and you could simply say, you know, I really appreciate that feedback. What I'd like to do, and we won't do this right now, but what I'd like to do in the future is maybe do a little brainstorming as to who else would value this as much as you have. Would that be something that you'd be willing to do? And the client goes, oh, sure. Okay, well, let me explain what we do and how we do it. All right, so here's what we do. Keep in mind it's brainstorming, so there's, you know, no perfect way, but we start with a series of circles. The people that are the closest to you, those would be your family, closest friends, and then we'd move out to the next circle, which would be people that you, your neighbors, your friends from your country club, people you work with, people you know pretty well. And then what we do is work out to the next circle, which would be people that would be highly qualified, but you may not know as well. And what we'd want to do is just brainstorm about who you think would be a good fit for us. And then what we do is go and follow up on those and you know, with your advice, determine what the best protocol would be for introductions. Would that be okay? Sure. Yeah. All right. Well, let's I'm going to, you know, get together with my assistant, and we'll come up with a date that works for both of us where we can sit down and do a little brainstorming on the phone. Would that be okay? Yeah. Okay. Great. So now you've got a call specifically designed to brainstorm on who would value this as much as you have. And once you've done it once, then you don't need all that protocol. You don't need all the wording. Because let's say that, and out of that brainstorming session, my belief is that you'll get between 3 and 6 introductions of people that they feel would be reasonably qualified. And out of those 3 to 6, you'll probably open 1 to 2 clients. Okay? But they're going to be highly qualified because they're coming from people, particularly your top 20% of your clients. So they'll be comparable to those people because they tend to stick with other people like themselves. So that's probably the best way to do it. Once you've done it and you get those 6 introductions, you simply follow up on one of them at a time. And that lasts you then for maybe 6 months or a year. And then it's just a matter of, you know, let's just do a little more brainstorming as to who you think would be a good fit for us. That's all you need to do. And they're ready. So it's a training issue. And once the clients are trained, then they become your sales force. So you turn, you know, a percentage, let's say 20% of your practice into a sales force for you guys versus them being untrained and not knowing what to do or how to do. They just don't do it. A lot of times people are uncomfortable because they don't know how to do it. So that really works. You can ask immediately if you feel like, you know, somebody says, that's great. You know, we love you and it's so good. We appreciate it. You can just simply say, you know, we really appreciate that. And if you think that there's someone that would be a good fit for us who has a pro, you know, is similar to you because we love doing business with you, then please let us know. Don't keep us a secret. And they go, okay, great. So that's a simple way to do it. That's an easy way to do it. You know, don't keep us a secret. Or, you know, if you think there's somebody that would be a good fit for us, please, we'd love the introduction. That's softer. The other is a little more formal. And they both work. You know, working with centers of influence, you have centers of influence in your practice now. People that send you clients without you asking. So working with them and doing brainstorming like that, they'd love it because they want to help you. They just don't know how. They don't know how to think about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, teams that I work with use this all the time and have made a dramatic difference in their practice. Meaning they've doubled their business. So, you know, you're going to get a 30% increase in your business because you're doing Supernova. People will send you more money. You'll do more business because you're profiling, because you're batch processing. So your business will go up. But unless you actively ask for introductions, you won't get the double. That other 70% comes from active prospecting, whether it's working with centers of influence, mastermind groups, social prospecting, or asking for introductions from existing clients. That's how you double your business.
Mm-hmm.
But just getting comfortable with the wording is, it's important. So it's just practice on your part. So again, you know, today we recorded this call. Listen to it, you know, listen to my little speech once a day for 5 days, and then you'll be comfortable with it. I also have a recording on the website where I did an interview with Bill Cates. I did one with Larry Wilson. So, you know, there's a number of different things in the book. Get More Referrals Now, Bill Cates' book. And there's some, you know, I think there's a script in the workbook too. I really like the idea of giving them some time to think about it. It makes it very important, and you're training them on how to think about it. So when you call them back to do the brainstorming, make sure you go through the whole process again of, you know, who you think, you know, what your profile is of your of the best clients, who's really a good fit. And then what, how the brainstorming will work with the three circles. And then just begin. Let's start with your family, you know, your family and your closest friends. We don't want to leave somebody out that you think would be highly qualified and a good fit for us. How about your brothers, sister, and so on. You know the family. If you don't, then how about your immediate family? And they go, nobody in our family has any money. Okay, except for us. You go, fine, great. Okay, how about now where you really, now how about your closest friends? These are the people you really know well, you travel with, you see regularly, go to dinner with them. And any of them ever come up with, you know, that they're uncomfortable, they never get, you know, they're really dissatisfied with their investment experience. And they say, yep, I've got my neighbor across the street. Okay, so you get the information about the neighbor, but you don't profile them at that point. Because all we're doing is brainstorming. So we just, enough information to I be able to go back and identify them. Anybody else? And then go to the next circle. Okay, now these are people you play golf with, you work with, maybe your boss. Somebody like that. And they go, yep, I got two of those. Okay, good. Get their names. Okay, you go through. Get all their names. Now the third circle. These are people that, you know, you may know from the club, but, you know, you don't necessarily, you're not intimate with them, but you know they'd be highly qualified. Maybe a game changer in terms of, you know, somebody that we should definitely, if we got them, they'd be a very good client. And they go, oh, yeah, the guy drives the Rolls, he's at the club, he's da-da-da, he has his own business. Okay, great. You put him down. And then what you do is you say, okay, let's circle back now. Think about, of these people that you've introduced or recommended, who would be the one that you think has the most sense of urgency? All right, so which one of these would be the... Well, it would be my brother. Okay. He just sold his business. You know, he's in Charlotte. And he's, you know, he really needs some help. Now you profile the brother. And that's all you do. You forget about the other ones. You take the one that they recommend and that has the most urgency, and you profile him. And you get everything you can on this, on him. Because you're going to get more on this than you're, you know, it's going to make profiling him when you get him a lot easier, because this person knows him really well, knows any, you know, quirks or anything about him. So this is a great chance to see if he would be a good fit.
Well,
because, frankly, I've got a neighbor.
Sorry to interrupt. Once they give you the name, do you ask them to give you the introduction, or?
I'll get to that. Let me show you how this works. So once you've done the complete profile, and I would recommend it as complete as possible, then you go, okay, thank you. This has been so helpful. You know your brother a lot better than I ever will. How would you suggest that we meet? All right, now this is the place where everybody fails. They get the name and a phone number. Then the brother never calls them back. All right, so we don't want a name. We don't want a phone number. We want an introduction. So how would you suggest that we meet? And then shut up. He goes, well, you know, you're in Florida and he's in Charlotte. I don't know. And you go, well, why don't we do a conference call introduction? He goes, oh, how would that work? Well, I get the three of us on the phone. I'll set it up. Get him on the, he'll get on the phone. And then you introduce us, and then you just, politely drop off, and I'll take the opportunity to get to know him. How's that sound? Good. All right. Now this is critical because this is a control issue. You need to keep control. So then you say, okay, today is, Monday, right? Yeah, Monday. Okay. So how often do you talk to your brother? So I talk to him every week. All right, so why don't we do this? Would Monday, say, afternoon typically be a good idea, a time for him to talk? I think that would work, yeah. All right, so let's tentatively set it up for next Monday at, 3 o'clock? Yep. All right, next Monday at 3 o'clock. Now, if I haven't heard from you, by say this Friday, I'll send you an email or give you a call. How would that be? Great. Okay, that will work fine. So then you, on Friday, if you haven't heard, send him a text, send him an email. He sends back, says, okay, we're all set for Friday. Here's my brother's number. And then you set it up, send emails to all of them. This is the call-in number and so forth. And you do the introduction. I mean, they do the introduction, and then you profile them. And remember, you're trying to determine whether or not this is going to be a good fit. It's not just you selling them. They're selling you on that this is going to be a good guy. And that's the advantage of an introduction. You know, like I was going to say, my neighbor across the street has plenty of money. I wouldn't let you do business with him. Okay, because he's a jerk. I mean, he's nice enough for us as a neighbor, but he's not a good person to do business with. He's a pain. He complains about everything. So I'd never introduce him to anybody. Okay?
Alright.
So we've really thought through the process. And if you, again, listen to this tape, a couple times this week, spaced repetition will get in your head, then you'll get the words right. The words are really important. And what I find is that people are so anxious to get an introduction, all they get is a phone number, and then then it's the most frustrating thing in the world because the person doesn't know who's calling, they don't know, it's just very amateurish.
Yeah.
This is very professional. You don't do it unless the client will introduce you. Okay? If he won't introduce you, it doesn't happen. So you can see once you train the client and you do it once, then you just circle back and say, hey, that went really well with your brother. I really appreciate it, Confidentiality precludes me from saying much, but I think he's very happy. Did you get any feedback? Oh, yeah, he loves you. It's great. It's going to work out great. Okay. Terrific. All right, let's go on. Let's just to refresh your mind, you gave me five names. Here are the five names. Blank, 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 blank. Okay? Okay. Why don't we, again, do a little brainstorming as to, of those names, who do you think would be next in terms of, or I'd say to them, you know, do you want to do a little more brainstorming? You want to follow up on that list? Oh, yeah. If they want to. Yeah, let's follow up on the list. Okay, here are the five names. Boom, 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 boom. How, you know, of those names, who do you think would be the most urgent? It would be this guy. Because I heard him talking that when we were playing golf, he's still mad at his FA, never calls him, da, da. Okay, great. Now, profile, same thing. You know him better than I do. How would you suggest we meet? And it could be in person, cup of coffee, could be lunch, could be golf, it could be anything, but you want it to be in person. Mm-hmm. And then you just keep going down the list till it's over. And once it's over, you know, this has been fun. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I hope you've enjoyed it. Yep. Yep. It's been great for me because, you know, all these people are now really happy. Let's do a little more brainstorming. You want to? All right. You think about it for the next couple of weeks, and then I'll set up an appointment. We'll do some more brainstorming. They give them another chance to really think about it. Who else? Now you got yourself a sales force.
Sounds easy.
It actually works. I mean, now, the reason people don't do it is because it takes some education and training. It takes some work to do that. And people, you know, it's so interesting. You know, if you play tennis as a profession, you'll play, you know, 5 hours a day. You'll practice same shot, you know, 1,000 times. But when it comes to our business, people don't practice. People don't learn. They just do. And they think they're professional. And I'm just shocked because this is a skill. This is a skill. Like learning to surf. It's a skill. It takes work. It takes time. It takes training. It takes, you got to go back. You got to have the coach watch you. So here's the way you work with me best. You learn it. Okay. Then you do it. And then you come back to me and say, what happened? And this is what happened. And what should I have done then? I can't watch you do it, but I certainly can give you feedback to help you once you've done it.
Yeah.
But it's like any sport or anything, it takes courage in the beginning when you're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But you just have to do it. And if you do it and you get good at it, as good as I just described, it will work. People love you and want to help you. They don't know how. You train them. But the words are important. The words are very important.
Okay.
So we've taken years to get these words right. And they're actually better words than Bill Case's words. Because we use the advice model at the end, which I think is really critical to getting the introduction. With the advice model is, you know them a lot better than I do. How would you suggest that we get introduced? That's asking their advice, which is the most powerful thing you can do in the world in terms of personal interaction. Asking for advice, very powerful. So, Stephanie, I don't know if you planned this, but this was week 11 that we hadn't really done, so it's perfect.
Okay.
Okay.
You planned it.
Good. No, and this is one that, again, the people that use it, it works, and the people that don't use it, of course, it doesn't work. So it's like, what? Huh? Why wouldn't you use it? And some people say, well, you know, I feel uncomfortable asking. Well, then you're never going to get any, okay? You got to get in the game. Can't win the race unless you enter the game, enter the race. Got to just get in the game. So, your homework. Everybody try it. Practice it this week. Practice it with each other. Listen to the tape. And then do it. You know, try five. Do it five times. Five times by the next call, and then we'll be off to the races. And I get some good feedback. And again, it's not the first time it counts. It's just the fact that you get out on the court. That's it. You just show up every day. The key is showing up and trying it. Okay?
Alright.
Good. I'm gonna tell Lori that I still think that this is week 11. According to my schedule. So we'll have week 12 next week, okay? Because I don't want to go yet to the monthly calls. I want to give you one more session here, okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks. Any questions?
No, that's it from my side.
Yeah, thanks, Rob.
Yeah, John, helpful, John?
Yeah, very much so.
Good. All right. Everybody give it a try. All right. Talk to you next week. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Rob. Bye.